Doing good. How about you?
I'm great. I'm great. I just returned from my daily errand running, so I'm good. Yeah, well, I leave for tour in a week, so I've just got this like list of things in front of me on like a dry erase board that I'm just like marking off every day, going, all right, you got to do this before you leave. Do this before you leave. So I got everything done just in time to get back. Today was part I had in my list. Yeah, so it's a good day. I didn't have to use my AK.
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking some time out for me, though, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Thank you for taking the time.
So speaking of this tour, the Everybody Still Hates You tour. You're partnered up with Combi Christ, which is a pretty badass pairing, if I should say so myself. So, I mean, how'd that come together? Have you guys worked together before or not front or?
It's really a long story. I mean, I've got history with a lot of the members with that band going back to the drummer Joe was actually in my band for a tour I did back in 2007. So he played in Wednesday 13 for a short second. So I've known him forever. The guitarist Eric, his band Sex Slaves toured with my band for about a year. So I pretty much know everybody, and we've kind of talked about it over the years. And I think just logistically it didn't work out or scheduling, but it came time for this year, and we wanted to get out and do some different stuff as opposed to just doing our regular headline tours and getting in front of a different audience. And when it comes up for ideas with bands that are visual and kind of do what we do, there's not a lot of bands. So when there's a weird band or a freak show kind of band like Combi Christ or us, we kind of always get thrown in this little bucket together, and people go, "Hey, why don't you guys team up together? You'd be the perfect mess." And we're like, "Yes." Yeah, so it worked out.
Yeah, you guys got some pretty good sport on this run too. Was it Nightclub, Prison, and Death Valley High?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of those bands. I've become Twitter and social media friends with them, just promoting the tour. But I do know the band Death Valley High. My publicist in the UK promoted them, and I have had their CD for a while. So they're a cool band. So they're one of the only bands I know about, but I'm sure if within a couple of days I will know everybody and we'll all be best of friends.
For anyone gonna be listening to this, I mean, all of these bands on this lineup are solid and they'll all put on great shows. So, I mean, you're in for a real treat on
Oh.
this tour for sure.
Yeah, it's a cool package.
Like I said, you're kind of gearing up, hitting the road. It's a month and a half tour, 34 dates to be exact. How does one prepare for such a long, grueling trek like this?
I'm ready. I mean, last year we did over 120 live shows last year, and we finished up around Thanksgiving last year. So we pretty much had that time off since Thanksgiving up until now to kind of recuperate, recharge the batteries, and for me, that's been plenty of time. I've first of the year changed a lot of things in my life and just got healthy and started eating. So I've just sort of been training for this tour. So I feel like I've been like Rocky, like training to. So it should have been called the I'm going to fight Clubber Lang tour.
You're running up the steps of the Coliseum out there.
Oh yeah, pretty much. So it's a good thing. This is our first full-length tour. We just came back from Australia and New Zealand. We had four really awesome shows there, but they were back-to-back. It was literally in and out, like no days off, just four shows in a row and back home. Like I had two Mondays last week and no Tuesday because we skipped time 18 hours ahead. So it is like the first full tour, and we kind of got the motor running in Australia last week, and so we're pretty much ready to. It's like caged animals. We're just like people have been poking us with sticks. So as soon as that door opens, it's on. All I can say is grr.
I've said it to countless people around me. You got to be one of the hardest working dudes in the business in general, man. Like, you guys are going nonstop all the time.
What you got to do, and I love it. I mean, it's not just I'm just constantly trying to do stuff. I mean, I this is all I know how to do. You know, I'll be 42 in August. I've been doing this for 20 years. I love playing. Believe it or not, as you know, at this age and this time in my career, I mean, I feel like I'm even more creative and doing more now than I did before. It's almost like it took me all those years to finally figure out what it is that I do and do it good. So these past couple of years, my lineup and everything's just I've been really adding to our show. So just the Wednesday 13, you may have saw 10 years ago is not the same band you're going to see this time. There's still elements there, the music's there, but it's a full-on visual theatric show. I put myself through the ringer on costume changes and giving Lady Gaga a run for her money.
Yeah, man, I remember catching you back. I think it was the Fang Bang tour. I mean props, yeah. Props were super minimal. You had garbage can lids and, you know, the basic stuff.
Okay, so yeah, that was 2007. That was 11 years ago. That was more of the punk rock thing. Now it's really gone. I've always said Alice Cooper has been my biggest influence, and now it's even more of an Alice Cooper-esque show, because I'm not playing guitar. I'm just a front guy, so I got plenty of time to do all types of things with our show, and just it's a fun thing, and I think it's something that no one's doing, and I think it's going to fit well with the Comedy Crashers audience. As you know, our music's different than them, our show's different than them, but at the same time, it somehow unites these fans, so I think it's going to be a good melting pot of weirdness.
So I look forward to it. It's been a long time since you've been up here to Northern California, Sacramento specifically. We'll be there.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So kind of in support of this tour, I mean, last year you released what I consider to be the album of the year, Condolences.
Oh, thank you.
On our Loud and Heavy, we gave it a perfect score, 10 out of 10. And even on the fan side for voting, it was voted highest album of the year as well. So
awesome.
Badass
home
album.
Run.
Yeah, man.
Damn, all that sports talk.
Go!
Knockout, yeah. TKO.
So that album, like I said, it's been almost a year since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So in retrospect, I mean, looking back at that album, do you still feel pretty solid about it? Anything you wish you could have done a little different?
No, I love that record. I just listened to it again. I've been listening to a lot of the songs again recently because I'm trying to get our set list together for the show. So I've kind of had to go back and listen to songs and piece the set list together. But going back and listen to it, because I really haven't listened to it in a while since we've been touring on it. I'm totally, totally happy with it. The production on it, Zeus killed it. It's just the mix on it's greatest, the best sounding Wednesday 13 record I've put out. And the songs are good. Like, there's no song I listened to and went, oh man, that song's weak. I wish I wouldn't have put it on there. They're all good. If I have any regrets, I wish I could have put a few more songs on there. But, at the same time, it just starts. I kind of like that old school, just keeping a record about 40 minutes, you know. So it's just that record really just kind of set the bar for us to know. I think next time was like, all right, we really got to step it up. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think we're going to rise to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun trying to go in that same direction, but not make the same record. For me, it's always fun because I never know. We go on with a batch of songs, but you never know how it's going to turn out. Those records just kind of create themselves, and that's what I love about them.
So have you guys gone back to the drawing board for what's next, or are you still just enjoying the ride?
Yeah, we're basically, when this tour starts, we've been riding since we've been home, so we each kind of individually have our own little stash of riffs and things we've been kind of throwing back and forth through emails. And so we've got a batch of songs we're going to work on. We're going to start working on stuff while we're on this tour, because this tour starts on the 18th, but it really doesn't end till August 11th, I believe.
Oh, wow.
In Europe. So we got a lot of time to work on the stuff and get a batch of songs together. And I think in September we're gonna write and demo all of those songs, go back out on tour October, November, and then be in the studio to record all those songs by December. So we will have a new record recorded and finished by the end of the year for release for summer next year.
If you don't mind, I actually got two questions that were submitted through our site from some fans of yours. So I wonder if you'd like to throw a shot at these for us. Have you ever thought about trying your hand at actually directing some horror and sci-fi films, since they impact your music so much?
Absolutely. And that's just a matter of time of me finding someone that can direct me in that right direction. I mean, again, I love movies. I know what I like about movies. I know what I'd want to do with a movie, but I never made one, so I don't know the process of doing that. So working with the team is something I'm looking forward and looking at doing. And I've had a lot of people I've met over the past 2 years. I do a lot of horror conventions, so I'm meeting a lot of the people that are doing movies and things like that. So that's something that's on. It's on my list amongst, you know, just record the new record. I have a book on my list. I have a movie on my list. So yes, that is when that happens. I don't know, but it is part of the It is part of the process, and I will get to it. What kind of movie it will be, it's going to be either something completely weird and spooky, or it's going to be something completely gross and dumb, Toxic Avenger, Troma style. That's where my brain is right now.
And then a couple people wanted to know, what does Wednesday 13 listen to when he's not rocking on the stage?
You know, when after the show, I usually chill out. I love Curtis Mayfield. I usually, after a show, I put on Curtis Mayfield. I put on, like, soul R&B music. It's just kind of relaxing. Like, after a show, you know, back when I was trying, you know, after a show, if I wanted to party or raise hell, you know, of course, I'd crank up Slayer, See This in the Abyss, or something like that. And just, you know, when I have my chill out days, it's usually just put on like a soundtrack. Like, I think last tour we were listening to the Stranger Things soundtrack. That was kind of like our chill out, space out music. But lately it's just been a lot of soul, R&B kind of stuff like that. And save all the heavy stuff for the for the gym and on stage. And usually when I'm chilling out, I just want to space out and not really think about it. I've been listening to a lot of 80s stuff. Like, I've been really listening to older, just everything from MTV when it first came out, Generation, everything from Eurythmics to Culture Club to just Huey Lewis and the News. Like, all that stuff is what I really listen to.
Finally, our big loud and heavy question for you. You've had a long career. You've had tons of albums under different titles, side projects, whatnot. If you could pick, say, 2 to 3 songs that define what Wednesday 13 is, what would you say they are?
There's different songs I have that I would, you know, I guess personally I would go, oh, well, this is this. But I kind of judge everything as from the audience and kind of what people know me for. And, like, you know, when I play a show and the reaction I get. So, you know, I guess one of the songs is, to me, this has been one of the longest lasting songs that I wrote in 1999 was my I Love to Say Fuck song.
Yeah. You know,
that was from my old band. It turned into Murder Dolls. I still continue to play it today. So that one is just kind of like the one that really kind of set the bar for me. Because I remember when I wrote that song and played it back in a bar back in the late 90s. You know, that was the first song that it got a reaction, like, but not like a I want to throw something at you, like, did he just say that? Man, that's catchy. You'll never hear that on the radio. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. That's so catchy that I like to say fuck. That was I love to say fuck. So that's one. I guess the song Rambo, that's another one of the songs that I from the old days, it's so simple and dumb, but really proud of it. Still a huge Rambo fan. That was like my first action hero. So, of course, I learned how to play guitar. I had to write a song about it. So between those two, you know, I've walked this fine line between dumb and stupid. I don't know where it is, but it's between those two songs.
Well, I got to say, my 7-year-old son, Damien, agrees with you. Rambo is his favorite song of all time. So
there you go. I hope Stallone hears that. I just saw him make a post on Instagram today about the new Rambo. I'm like, yes.
He needs to hit you up about that soundtrack.
I'm telling you, I got it all. That and when Flash Gordon comes out, I got that down too. Hit me up.
I'll let you get back to your tour prep, get back to what you're doing.
Awesome, man.
Awesome, man.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.